Breaking news tonight. Sources tell NBC News the president's son-in-law and senior White House advisor Jared Kushner is under scrutiny by the FBI in the Russia investigation. We have developing details. Body slam fallout. New controversy after that violent encounter caught on audio tape. A congressional candidate charged with assaulting a reporter at high drama hours before the polls close. Scolding allies. A tense confrontation as President Trump lectures world leaders standing just feet away. And video getting a lot of attention. President Trump's move to get to the front of the pack. And hospital bill help. The new way patients are finding to pay for surprise medical expenses. It can be a cheaper option to cover those out-of-pocket costs. Nightly news begins right now.
This is NBC Nightly News with Lester Holt.
To our viewers in the West from Los Angeles tonight, good evening. As we come on the air, we have breaking news, and it involves the Russia investigation. NBC News has learned Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law and one of his senior White House advisors, has come under scrutiny by the FBI. That's according to multiple U.S. sources. We want to get right to our White House correspondent, Peter Alexander, with details on what all this means and reaction from Kushner's attorney. Peter, what can you tell us?
Lester, good evening to you. Now, to punctuate that point, multiple U.S. officials tell NBC News tonight that Jared Kushner, the president's son-in-law, one of his closest advisors, has come under FBI scrutiny in the Russia investigation. The officials tell us federal investigators believe that Kushner has significant information related to their inquiry, but it does not mean that they suspect him of a crime or intend to charge him. The FBI scrutiny of Kushner also means its counterintelligence and criminal investigation goes not just to the White House, but to the Trump family circle. The official said Kushner is in a different category than former Trump aides Paul Manafort, the former campaign chairman, and Michael Flynn, who are formerly considered subjects of the investigation. Records of both Manafort and Flynn have been demanded by grand jury subpoenas, as we've reported. And tonight, Kushner's lawyer tells NBC News that Mr. Kushner has already volunteered to share with Congress what he knows, and that he will do the same if he's contacted in connection with any other inquiry. Lester?
All right, Peter Alexander with that developing news from the White House tonight. Thank you. Now to that violent turn last night in a very closely watched race for an open congressional seat in Montana. The hard-fought contest turning to blows when the Republican candidate in the special election allegedly body-slammed a reporter who was trying to question him. The election in a largely Republican district has drawn high-profile national interest from President Trump on down as Democrats come within striking distance of a potential upset. Tonight, Republican Greg Gianforte faces an assault charge as both parties try to measure the impact on voters now going to the polls. NBC's Casey Hunt on the clash and why the stakes are so high.
A reporter's question.
Make your decision about health care.
Answered with violence.
You guys, the last time you came here, you did the same thing. Get the hell out of here. Get the hell out of here.
Montana Republican congressional candidate Greg Gianforte charged with misdemeanor assault after allegedly body slamming Ben Jacobs, a reporter for the Guardian newspaper, shaking up the high profile special election just hours before polls opened on this election day.
Next thing I know, I'm, you know, being slammed down to the ground, and a congressional candidate is on top of me. It was very disconcerting.
Jacobs was taken from the scene in an ambulance, treated at a hospital. Gianforte's campaign immediately disputing his account, calling the encounter, quote, aggressive behavior from a liberal journalist. But a Fox News reporter witnessed the whole thing.
Gianforte grabbed him by the neck, both hands, slid him to the side, body slammed him.
Tonight, the sheriff who contributed to Gianforte's campaign says,
probable cause existed to issue a notice to appear to Greg Gianforte for the offense of misdemeanor assault.
In Montana, Democratic voters were shocked.
He cracked under pressure.
But Gianforte's supporters willing to forgive.
People get pushy, and I think there's a response. And if people are pushy all the time, then there's a response.
He's even raised $100,000 online since the incident. Back in Washington, Republicans struggling to answer for his actions.
Should the gentleman apologized? Yeah, I think he should apologize.
Before the incident, Gianforte had a narrow lead over Democratic candidate Rob Quist. President Trump trying to help him over the finish line.
He's a wonderful guy.
He knows how to win.
When asked tonight if the president stands by his endorsement, a White House spokesman said no comment. As polls close, the race in Montana...
You just body slammed me and broke my glasses.
Get the hell out of here.
Shoved in a different direction.
I think that the Republican candidate, Gianforte, was certainly a student of Donald Trump's success when it comes to standing up to the media and weaponizing an aggressive pushback.
And news of this altercation may not have much impact here in a state that President Trump won overwhelmingly. About two-thirds of Montana voters have already voted early or absentee. And under Montana law, they can't change those votes now. Lester.
Casey Hunt in Montana. Thank you. Now to that tense confrontation involving the president scolding world leaders at a NATO meeting in Brussels as they stood just feet away. And controversy over what the president didn't say to our allies. Our chief White House correspondent Hallie Jackson has the tough talk.
Tonight, new tension in the air with Donald Trump lecturing leaders of NATO, standing just a few feet from presidents and prime ministers, blasting their countries for not meeting payment obligations. Only the U.S. and four other members actually do.
This is not fair to the people and taxpayers of the United States.
Now, to try to pacify the president, NATO's putting in place yearly reviews to make sure allies make progress toward paying what they owe. Critical of NATO on the campaign trail.
NATO, in my opinion, is obsolete.
The president only recently flipped his stance.
I said it was obsolete. It's no longer obsolete.
Still, he's stopping short of explicitly endorsing Article 5, which says an attack on one ally is an attack on all, invoked for the only time on 9/11, as the president noted while dedicating a piece of the World Trade Center at this new memorial.
Our NATO allies responded swiftly and decisively.
A White House official saying the president's participation alone shows his commitment. At this first face-to-face NATO meeting, some eyebrow-raising moments. The president appearing to push aside the prime minister of Montenegro, the newest member of NATO. And on center stage, the relationship with Prime Minister Theresa May, furious over leaks about its Manchester investigation suspected to come from the U.S.
I will be making clear to President Trump today that intelligence that is shared between law enforcement agencies must remain secure.
The president promising to get to the bottom of it, ordering a Justice Department review, and going out of his way to praise the special relationship between the countries. Today, NATO allies agreed to join a coalition to fight ISIS and appointed an anti-terror coordinator. Only symbolic moves, but an olive branch to the president.
This first NATO meeting with President Trump's an adjustment for allies, too. More used to former President Obama's worldview. He happened to be in Europe today, castigating an America First approach, telling an audience in Berlin, we can't hide behind a wall. Hallie Jackson, NBC News, Brussels.
Let's turn out of the new developments in the investigation into that Manchester concert bombing. British authorities made new arrests overnight as they follow the bomber's trail to hunt down his alleged network. And tonight we're getting a look at the suspect in a way we haven't seen him yet. NBC's Bill Neely is there with the latest.
The first video of the man neighbors say is Salman Abedi, the Manchester killer, filmed recently outside his home. The police manhunt for his accomplices is unrelenting. Another two men arrested today, eight now being questioned.
I want to reassure people that the arrests that we have made are significant.
And they are scouring Abedi's home.
The police say they've found significant items, but what's critical is the trail from here to the rest of the cell and identifying the bomb maker before another attack.
Police checking links with the so-called man in the hat, Mohamed Abrini of ISIS, who bombed Brussels and visited Manchester 2 years ago. And they're examining a claim by his sister to the Wall Street Journal that he wanted revenge for US bombing in Syria. His victims got a visit from Queen Elizabeth today, who told injured teenagers she was shocked.
Very scary.
Very wicked. Target, that sort of thing.
All the girls had toys in their bed, one still wearing her Ariana Grande t-shirt.
Compared to other people, I'm like, quite lucky, really.
Britain's intelligence service failed to stop the bomber, but claimed today it's running 500 investigations, watching 3,000 suspects, and has foiled five attacks in 2 months. But not this one. The dead remembered today in a minute of silence across Britain. 22 lives lost. So many, so young. And the tributes to the victims still growing here. Secretary of State Rex Tillerson will make his own tribute tomorrow when he pays his first visit to Britain, a country where the threat level is still critical, an attack still judged imminent. Lester.
All right, Bill Neely in Manchester. Thank you. Another legal defeat tonight for the Trump White House. A federal appeals court today upheld a ban on enforcement of the president's executive order limiting travel from six Muslim-majority countries. Our justice correspondent, Pete Williams, is in our Washington newsroom. Pete, what can you tell us about this?
Well, Lester, this comes from the Fourth Circuit Court of Appeals in Virginia. It says the president's executive order is likely unconstitutional because it's based on religious discrimination. Statements made during the campaign, the court said, make it clear the executive order stems from, quote, President Trump's desire to exclude Muslims from the United States. So today's decision keeps a lower court ruling in place that blocked nationwide enforcement of the president's executive order. That means no matter what happens in another appeals court, also considering this issue, the ban on enforcement could continue for at least several more months. Tonight, Attorney General Jeff Sessions says the Justice Department strongly disagrees with the ruling and will appeal to the Supreme Court, Lester.
Pete Williams tonight. Thank you. We turn to consumer news and that change in store online shopping behemoth Amazon, marking the grand opening of a store in New York City, going brick and mortar as other retailers are suffering and laying off workers and closing stores. So what's behind the decision? NBC's Ann Thompson takes a look.
It may seem counterintuitive. At a time when many are writing traditional retail's obituary, severely wounded by online retailers, today Amazon opens a physical bookstore in New York City, its seventh nationwide.
The mission of Amazon Books is to be a discovery mecca for customers.
Opening in what's been a tough year for traditional retail, stores closing at a record pace, almost 3,000 so far. Amazon keeps growing. North American sales quintupling since 2010 to $80 billion, almost four times what Sears took in last year. Even so, Amazon now follows the trail to real stores already blazed by online stars Warby Parker and Bonobos. Tim, why are online retailers building physical stores?
And they're building physical stores because consumers want more. They want that experience that they can't get online.
If Barnes & Noble and the Apple Store had a baby, it would be this. Amazon selling books and its devices for all the different ways people read today.
When was the last time you picked up a physical book and read it?
Other than a textbook, long time ago.
Still, print book sales grew in the first 9 months of 2016, while e-books fell almost 20%.
So is retail influencing e-commerce, or is e-commerce influencing traditional retail?
I think you're having a hybrid, the mixing of the two. It's not either or, you're having a combination of these. And we'll see more of these experiences as people demand more.
Adding a new chapter to capture the best of both worlds. Ann Thompson, NBC News, New York.
Still ahead tonight, need help with your hospital bills? The surprising new Lifeline patients are using to find assistance paying off those soaring out-of-pocket costs. Also, speaking out, a father fires back at his family's critics after that scary viral video showing his daughter attacked by a sea lion. We'll be right back. We're back now with a surprising new way patients are finding help to pay hospital bills. As out-of-pocket costs, including deductibles and co-payments, are skyrocketing, some hospitals are eliminating the middleman and offering interest-free loans directly to patients to pay back over time. NBC News business correspondent Jolene Kent has details.
David Raymond was working out when he discovered a large lump on his neck.
It's about the size of a golf ball, just sitting here on the side of my neck.
After surgery to remove the benign growth came another surprise, a $2,800 bill, not covered by the family's insurance.
It was kind of a shock. It just fills you up and you kind of feel helpless.
77% of Americans cannot afford an unexpected medical bill of $2,000. And with the average annual out-of-pocket costs up more than 75%, now hospitals are jumping in, partnering with banks to lend money directly to patients with no or low interest. The goal? Hospitals are more likely to get paid for procedures, while patients get more affordable payment options. Instead of putting it on a high-interest credit card or going to a bank, the Raymonds got a 0% loan for 36 months on the phone.
How much do you end up paying in interest and fees?
Absolutely nothing. Zero. Instead of paying $2,800, you know, right off the bat, it breaks down to $80 a month.
But before you take out a hospital loan, patient advocates say explore all options.
While that zero interest might seem very attractive, it's not a substitute for figuring out what you can afford.
First, try negotiating down the bill with the insurance company. If you do get a loan, read the fine print. Missing payments could result in fines, penalties, and damage to your credit score. For the Raymonds, the hospital loan made financial sense.
We can truly focus on being a family and being healthy and being together.
And on life's sweeter moments.
Good job.
Good job, buddy.
Jolene Kent, NBC News, Chatham, Illinois.
Up next here tonight, who do dads pay more attention to, sons or daughters? We'll tell you what science has to say about that question coming up next. Tonight, the father of that six-year-old girl pulled into the water by a sea lion is speaking out. It happened in Vancouver. The unforgettable video of that encounter sparked widespread criticism of the family for getting so close to the wild animal. Now the girl's father is revealing she is undergoing precautionary medical treatment related to her close call. NBC News national correspondent Miguel Almaguer has our report.
Tonight, the father of the six-year-old, yanked into the water by a 700-pound sea lion, is calling the little girl's grandfather, who rescued her, a hero, defending his family after this viral video sparked a wave of criticism.
Only thing that I care is God, she's safe.
In a phone interview, the father, who wants to remain anonymous, says his family was not feeding the sea lion when it dragged her underwater. He says my daughter ran to the front to see the sea lion. I strongly agree she was too close.
Experts say while sea lions and their pups look friendly and approachable, their jaws are incredibly powerful and their bite can carry a dangerous bacteria.
Photos posted after the encounter show a dark mark on the little girl's dress. Her father confirms she suffered a superficial wound and is being treated for a possible infection.
They can carry all sorts of nasty bacteria in their mouth, and it actually needs a specific course of antibiotics if a person gets that specific infection.
Tonight, harbor officials are warning families keep their distance and don't feed the animals, while one father says his little girl has learned a lesson and is lucky she survived. Miguel Almaguer, NBC News.
Now to something that'll really make dads stop and think. According to a new study, fathers show more attention to their young daughters than their young sons. Researchers found dads were more actively engaged, sang more, and talked more openly about emotions with their daughters. The study suggests that as a result, girls develop more empathy than boys as they grow up. When we come back, as we head toward the holiday weekend, the mission inspiring America to remember the real meaning of Memorial Day. Finally tonight, a moving annual tribute. Soldiers placing flags today at the more than 280,000 headstones at Arlington National Cemetery. And as our nation prepares to honor those who served and sacrificed this Memorial Day weekend, there is a movement afoot to ensure America never forgets its fallen heroes. NBC's Kevin Tibbles has more in our Inspiring America report.
One foot in front of the other on a march of remembrance. Former Army Captain Glenn Dare carries the names of fallen friends on his fully loaded pack.
It makes you wonder, why did I get to come back? So my purpose now is to try to carry their mission on.
He walks with others for a veteran support group called Carry the Load, which organizes marches nationwide to raise awareness of the true meaning of Memorial Day.
It's not just one day a year we think about them or honor them. We think about them all the time.
One of the names he carries is of Army Major Stuart Wolfer, killed in Iraq in 2008. Wolfer's family saw this photo of Dare last year in an ad for Carry the Load posted at a local bank.
I burst into tears. It was mind-boggling.
The charity put them in touch with one another. And this year, the Wolfers joined the march.
it perpetuates and allows my brother's memory and his life and his service not to have died along with him.
Dare started his leg of the cross-country trek in Boston. And when we met up with him in New York, he had walked 20 hours through the night from West Point. At Ground Zero, the group is met by first responders. They also know the meaning of loss.
How significant is it for you to carry these names on your back when you come to this hallowed place?
I don't know if many of them even came here, but it was probably the reason that they joined the military.
For the family of a fallen soldier, understanding and healing.
Now it's our turn to serve, to help the troops.
We are the memory keepers.
Walking the walk, so a nation never forgets. Kevin Tibbles, NBC News, New York.
And that is going to do it for us on a Thursday night. I'm Lester Holt. For all of us at NBC News, thank you for watching and good night.